superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Keep yapping, man.
This is the Rich Eisen Show, live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Does your quarterback look like someone to you who can't get it down the field vertically, Cameron Jordan?
Absolutely not. Keep yapping, man.
The Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests, Stanford head coach David Shaw, co-host of Good Morning Football, Kyle Brandt, seven-time MLB All-Star David Wright, plus comedian Nate Bargatze. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. I am your humble host sitting here in Los Angeles, California, getting set to hang with you right here on Peacock and NBCSN and radio stations across the country, satellite and terrestrial. Pleased that you are here with us here for this busy Wednesday program right here in the middle of our sports week. The NBA Finals begins tonight. MLB playoffs, eight games starting right now. Going down in the National League as the Braves are getting set to take the field right now to host the first game of the day, taking on the Cincinnati Reds. And Trevor, I am the Cy Young Award winner, Bauer.
I think he's speaking
in existence, right? The baseball playoffs began yesterday with four American League wild card games. Games two of those series go down today while the National League kicks off that portion of their playoff schedule. So we're excited about all of that. We also have our eyes on what's going on in football. Chris Brockman, Mike Del Tufo, and also my social media grandmaster TJ Jefferson sitting in on our golf course to the right of me, right here in our Los Angeles based studios. Lots going on for you today, sir.
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah. Lots going on for you today. First of all, your crazy ass rooting hybrid is on display today in our guest schedule as well as the news stack. First of all, the only Clipper Sixer Met Cowboy fan I've ever met in my entire life.
Whole life.
Okay? So Mets, David Wright is going to be the captain, is going to be on.
Dress him properly, Rich.
Great, Captain America, yes. As he was known from the World Baseball Classic. With all due respect, the captain in New York City would be Derek Jeter. But that's all right. David Wright for your Mets is going to be here.
Depends on your borough.
Top of hour number three. Who better to have on to talk about the baseball playoffs than David Wright? He's got a book of his life that he's written and he will be talking about. So that's that for you. Also, your Clipper coach that got fired earlier in the week.
Mutually parted ways.
Pardon
Rich.
Me. That's right. Mutually parted ways. My bad. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
They mutually parted ways.
Yes.
Earlier in the week, Doc Rivers, according to Shams Charania of The Athletic, is currently in Philadelphia.
Hey.
Imagine interviewing that. With the Philadelphia 76ers. So right. You can't quit Doc, nor can Doc apparently quit you.
Hey.
So who better to figure out, hey, look. If Kawhi and playoff P wasn't enough of a Rubik's Cube for him to figure out, let's see if Embiid, let's try Embiid and Simmons on for size.
I'm all for it. I said that at the end of the show yesterday. I don't know if Mike cut off my mic. I slid that in.
Yeah.
I mean, right as the show was going to.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to go coach out. Two guys who don't like each other.
We don't know that, though.
Be careful.
We don't know that.
Last night.
Yeah, those are two guys that don't like each other right there.
Last night, we and I think 70-some-odd million other Americans heard everything's bad in Philadelphia. Bad things happen in Philadelphia. So good luck to you, sir. And Doc.
Mark, I want you to have my cheese fries.
That's Mark Sanchez.
Mark got cheese fries.
That's right. No, look, good things can happen in Philadelphia.
I mean,
I've never heard that.
I've had some good nights in Philadelphia.
So we'll keep an eye on all of that as the NBA Finals
tip off tonight between the Heat and the Los Angeles Lakers.
Lakers.
I'm excited for this one, man. I'm excited for this one. I like the way that the Heat play. I think the Heat's a deeper team than these Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers, we'll find out. We'll find out if the more complete, if you will, team is in fact the Heat, and the Lakers are just top heavy, right? Don't you know that that playoff action in any sport, baseball especially, like if you've got a left fielder who can't field, you've got a right fielder with a bad arm, you've got a catcher that can't play defensively, you've got a bullpen that is weak coming out of the pen, lefty on lefty, the baseball gods will find your weakness in the playoffs. It will be exposed. Is the Lakers' weakness that they are a top-heavy team that if LeBron and Anthony Davis don't combine for anywhere between 48 to 62 points, they're going to lose? Who else is there? KCP sometimes pops to the fore. Kuzma, they're waiting for Kuzma to pop to the fore. Rondo has obviously played well.
He's kind of been their third best guy.
Caruso, Danny Green made a big shot against the Nuggets in that closeout game. But who's that guy that if LeBron and Anthony Davis somehow, some way don't combine for the 48 to 60 some odd points that's necessary or that the Lakers are expecting? What happens? Because I just love the fact that you don't know where the Heat is going to hit you.
Yep.
Okay? And I just love the fact that, again, the storylines that you see, we talk about it all the time with the Super Bowl. We talk about storylines before the game. And before a game is played, this is all about Pat Riley, former Showtime coach, that winds up getting to Miami after an unsuccessful trip for a championship in New York City. They let him walk. The tabloid headlines in New York scream, Pat the Rat. Riley goes to Miami. He builds a better franchise, a better team by getting LeBron, which the Knicks always hoped that they could do. Couldn't get him. Team him up with Bosch. Team him up with Wade. And then what? Right? Then what? This team is what? And Jimmy Butler is looking to become his own grown-ass man, as he is suddenly becoming. For Riley. And who's standing in the way of Riley and Spoelstra showing they could do it without LeBron? LeBron. And who's standing in the way of LeBron showing he doesn't have to team up with the super team or go home to Cleveland, do it somewhere else in Los Angeles where everyone's like, okay, when you come here, you've got to win championships. And here he is in the bubble getting to the final spot. And who's standing in his way? The Heat. I love it. I like it. I like it a lot. And I can't wait to see Tyler Hero. I'm a big fan of his.
Same.
I can't wait to see what he does here. Because he could be your difference maker, right?
Big time X factor.
Big time X factor.
Big time.
What if he's just coming into his sort of Jamal Murray own? You know what I mean? Like bursting into the scene.
You want a sneaky NBA Finals prop bet. Tower Hero.
So I just need to say right off the bat, I am not looking for that.
Okay. I was more like talking
I'm sure there are some in the audience that's interested in that sort of thing.
Yes.
So color me curious now that you mentioned, what is the prop bet? Like, well, as an MVP for the
as
for
him
the,
to
for
be
the
NBA Finals MVP, yeah. Oof. I think you could get a nice little payout on that.
Can I give you my playoff X factor?
Sure.
Playoff Rondo.
No doubt.
You say Rajon, I say Rajon. He's got to be big. I mean, if Rondo plays like the Rondo that we think he can play.
Okay. And he did make some remarkable defensive plays and leading in transition game against Denver in the two wins that finally knocked him out. I agree with you. There's a lot of X factors you can come up with.
Tyler Hero, guys, 25-1 Finals MVP.
Wow.
If you smell what I'm cooking.
What about Duncan Robinson?
125-1.
Let's put money on Duncan, Brockman. when we were in Miami for the Super Bowl,
yes.
Chris and I went and watched the Heat play the Celtics. And I was just amazed by this Duncan Robinson kid. He looked like my paper boy back in Altoona. And Duncan Robinson had fight was 5 of 5 from three.
As you know,
I was like, this guy.
As you know, I'm a big fan of Duncan Robinson. Just loved watching him play for Michigan. You know, and I'm still waiting for Wagner to become the next Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Did you like that take?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Mo can run the floor. He can play three. He can defend. He can. Just you wait. To use a Hamilton phrase. And here's another storyline that I'm looking at, and I'm seeing on topic bars across the country as everybody's waiting for the NBA Finals to tip off. Is that LeBron needs this to get closer to Jordan, or is he closing the gap, or is he on Jordan's level? And I know, Chris, even you think this is low-hanging fruit that you wish not to touch.
But
I'm seeing everybody talk about it, man. And I just want to say this. As you know, I am... am I a LeBron stan? Is that what you refer to? Because I do...
He refers to him as something that you can't say on air, Rich.
I do think that LeBron James is as all-time greaty as you can get, right?
Yeah. I don't think anyone's disputing that.
No, I know nobody's disputing that. Except a lot of his haters are disputing that. There's somebody who's on the air before us who has coast-to-coast microphones for years who disputes that and makes his career out of disputing that.
I know a lot of people,
you know, slough it off as just him being a troll, but there's a lot of LeBron haters out there, and this is not that. What I'm basically saying to everybody is don't forget the last dance. That's all I'm saying. Don't forget the last dance. Don't forget Michael Jordan. What we saw winning time, mm-hmm. when he said winning time, I'm going to take Jamal Murray. And then I'm going to score, 9 in a row the next game to close it out? That was every night for Michael Jordan. And it was not only every night for Michael Jordan, it was expected of Michael Jordan. And Michael Jordan talked about it going into the game, and then Michael Jordan talked about it during the game, and then was about it during the game, which he closed out. Very rare was Michael Jordan never the guy who didn't take your heart out and show it to you pumping, and also didn't go anywhere else other than the Birmingham Barons. I mean, we could go on and on and on and on. So I just want to say that just to start, to remind all you youngsters out there. And this is not just because I saw Space Jam with my kids just the other day.
Oh, how did they like it?
You know what? It's the second, third time that they've seen him.
Okay.
And, you know, everyone should understand it's totally forgotten and totally overlooked. But Del Harris's acting job in that was remarkable. Really. I mean, seriously. Everyone forgets about Del Harris's ability to project.
Emote.
And really take command of a scene. putting it all together, because, you know, this will all come up again when LeBron does his own Space Jam.
Yep.
Is that LeBron is one of the all-time greats and has, no doubt in my mind, grabbed this generation's mantle of being the greatest player of his current generation. And I think you could say that Kobe kind of bridges the Jordan to Kobe, to LeBron era. Like, you could definitely say it goes from Jordan to Kobe to LeBron here. But when we're talking about the entirety of all time, there's only one guy. There's only one guy. And there will always only be one guy as long as people of my generation walk the planet. That's all. And it's Michael Jordan, who did it every night and didn't not do it every night. And the only times he didn't do it is because...
Bad pizza? Oh, he did it then, too. Never mind.
It's true.
He played baseball. That's it. Played baseball. Before, obviously, he won. He struggled coming out. Everyone, you know, nobody just comes out of the college womb ready to roll. I guess unless you're Patrick Mahomes. But the bottom line is, Jordan, let's just end it. Can he close the gap? Sure, he can close the gap, just in terms of numbers, I guess. But in terms of all time, I know you haven't said a word because you don't even think this is worthy of it. But just you watch, Chris, what's going to happen over the next few days here. Just you watch.
What's going to happen if Miami wins?
Ooh.
Then what are we going to do?
Well, then we can have more of a conversation about why. I don't think the reason why they lose is because LeBron won't do what he needs to do. I think LeBron will absolutely show up and do all sorts of LeBron things. I think if the Heat win, it's because they're the deeper, better team that the Lakers minus Anthony Davis and LeBron could not match. That's what I'm saying. Dragic one night, Duncan Robinson the next, Adebayo the next, and then my guy.
Finals MVP, Tyler Herro.
Finals MVP, yeah. Tyler Herro. So that's tonight.
Let's not take away from LeBron's greatness, though.
I mean, I'm not taking away from
just because you're not
it at
as
all.
Great as Jordan. Not you. I'm just saying people online have it's like this argument that's never going to end. Look, if you believe Michael Jeffrey Jordan is the greatest of all time,
I do.
Then there's nothing that's going to happen that's going to change your mind.
That's true.
And on the flip, if you believe LeBron's the greatest, then your argument's only really going to get stronger as he continues to play.
Unless
and
the Heat win.
Nothing's going to change your mind on that.
I guess.
It's like, you know, you're going to believe what you're going to believe.
But again, I'm just seeing the conversations, and I don't mean to denigrate because, trust me, I've been there for Super Bowls where you're just like looking at your watch saying, when can we kick off? You know, anybody who's talking about the NBA Finals for the last 2-3 days just waiting for that ball to be tipped, that finally happens tonight.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to that. We'll talk about it tomorrow.
It's going to be fun.
And I do want to hit what's going on in the NFL because let me just make sure that I have not received a text from him because he's a busy man and he's going to join us. Yes, I do believe he will join us. Jason Lockenfor of CBS Sports to give us his 2 cents to know, let us know what's going on. Our first two guests will be talking football and COVID-19. David Shaw, top of hour number 2, as we know, when he was on about a month ago, and we asked him, it was a little over a month ago, because our first Peacock show was August 24th, and he was on that show. Today is September 30th. I asked him if the Pac-12's decision to postpone their football season was the right move. He said the words, quote unquote, unequivocally. Now, Stanford football in the Pac-12 is back. Things have changed, apparently. The science about the virus hasn't. The testing has. And we'll see if that's going to be the reason why the Pac-12 is really coming back. And David Shaw will join us. And then Jason's going to give us the latest from the NFL. We knew the possibility was large and great, and it has arrived, that a 2020 regular season game is being pushed, postponed due to COVID-19. Another member of the Titans organization tested positive, I believe, yesterday, announced today. That brings the total number to 9 members, 3 players. And I don't know if this was a player or another member of the organization. 9 members of the Titans organization has tested positive. Still no Minnesota Vikings, who they played on Sunday, have tested positive. But it takes anywhere from what you read. Again, I'm not an epidemiologist, but I'm trying to play one every now and then on TV. Takes anywhere between 3 to 7 days, I guess, if you catch it, for it to show up on a test as positive. So the NFL is pushing the Titans' next game as far along as they possibly can. No word on what the Vikings game with the Houston Texans is, but the Vikings so far have tested negative. And the league is essentially saying the Titans and the Steelers will not play Sunday. They want to give as much possible time to see who's going to test positive and negative from here on out. And the game could be played Monday night, a second Monday nighter. So while Monday night football in week number 4 goes down between Green Bay and Atlanta, we might have another game in Pittsburgh and Tennessee, 3-0 versus 3-0 on a Monday night, or it might be put on Tuesday. Give yourself some extra time. You don't need to fracture your audience. Time is definitely a luxury the NFL does have. By the way, that's a turn of the phrase from The Wrath of Khan, Star Trek 2, when Khan told Kirk, time is a luxury you do not have. Just wanted to point that out. But Tuesday night, in case you're wondering, the NFL has played a game on Tuesday night. The last Tuesday night football game was 10 years ago when a Philadelphia Eagles home date with the Minnesota Vikings got pushed to Tuesday because there was a huge snowstorm on Sunday. If you recall, that was in the last days of Brett Favre as a quarterback. He missed the game. Joe Webb started and beat Michael Vick and the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, man.
When Favre's games played streak got snapped, and he missed 2 games in 3 weeks. That was the second one he missed.
Wow.
Due to a concussion. Do you remember Joe Webb and the Brad Childress-coached Vikings won in Philadelphia? And before that, let me get the exact date correct. The last time before that Tuesday night game was played was 1946. So it's rare. Whew. But it happens. And this is just the way it's going to have to go. We'll have to go with the flow. And the NFL sent out, according to my friend Adam Schefter, another strong warning, a memo obtained by Adam this morning, strongly worded memo sent to coaches, GMs, and team executives, includes a passage where the NFL says it will address a lack of compliance with accountability measures that may include suspension and or forfeiture of draft picks, about coaches who don't wear masks on the sidelines, threatening suspensions and draft choices. They're not playing around because you don't know who's got it, clearly. And this is a dangerous moment in time for the 2020 NFL season. And I'll tell you what, too. I saw this story out of Vegas.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe what I saw. I love Darren Waller, and I love his story. And as you know, I am a very, very strong advocate for charities and charitable ventures, and certainly his, about battling drug addiction. But can we not have in-person events like the one that I saw apparently in Las Vegas, where members of the Raiders were all indoors, not wearing masks, many of them? Apparently Waller was. I mean, can we just not let our guard down? Honestly, because anything can happen. If this happens with another team and another team after that, we might not see the Super Bowl till March, because the NFL is going to play every game.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to play every game, and we're going to figure this thing out. But it just shows you how fragile this is and how remarkable it's been for 3 weeks that we've gotten through 3 weeks of games without any postponements. And here we are. Took less than a month. So hopefully it's all being taken care of. Jason Lockenfour will join us on that front. Then Kyle Brandt and his usual Wednesday spot from Good Morning Football and 10 Questions with Kyle Brandt, his podcast. And as you know, Nate Bargatze is a very funny comedian. He will be here in hour number 3. We'll talk about Nick Foles for Brandt's Bears and more here on the show. Old Spice now has Below Deck, a new line of products for your, well, below deck area. New Below Deck Powder Spray helps you feel drier and cleaner down below. New Below Deck Anti-Chafe Stick helps prevent inner thigh chafing. Nobody wants that. Available in the family planning aisle at Walmart or online at walmart.com/oldspicebelowdeck. We're back on Peacock. Our NBCSN audience is about to rejoin us, and same with our terrestrial radio audience. Again, we say hello to our SiriusXM Channel 211 listeners and ask you if you want to call us at 844-204-RICH. The Reds put a couple runners on in the top half of the inning, but the Braves got out of it. Top two right now, game 1 of 8. Playoff games in Major League Baseball.
What a day.
First pitch damn near almost every hour of the day.
Love it.
David Wright, the longtime New York Met great, third baseman, hot cornerman, will be joining us to talk about this in his new book. Look at that. Look at those 8 games up on the screen.
That's insane.
Right there.
Love it.
Yeah. Who's under the most pressure?
Well, the Dodgers, I would say.
It's like the final four.
Dodgers are killing it all year long.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, the Dodgers. This is right. This is it, yeah. Right? But it's just, this is what baseball wants. They wanted an expanded playoffs, and it's just going to be baseball palooza. And, you know, they're sending brackets out and saying, get your brackets in and see if you can, who can fill out the brackets appropriately. And
I don't want this.
Madness.
Yeah, I don't want this every year.
It's going to be every year. Get used to it. This is it.
16 teams every year?
Get used to it. Oh, yeah. Get used to it, sir.
Oof.
This is not just a COVID thing. Oh, yeah.
No.
Get used to it.
That's a joke.
Get used to it. Hey, everybody, on NBCSN, we are back on the air, but we are going to move to Peacock exclusively starting Monday. So if you do not have Peacock, if you've been taking in this show on NBCSN for the last several months, we say join us on Peacock. The water's warm. Jump on in. PeacockTV.com or download the app to make sure it's free. You sign up 12 to 3 Eastern every day. And PeacockTV.com, you can watch it on your desktop. That's certainly to a lot of people out there who may have switched to NBCSN instead of our YouTube stream that we had going live for quite a bit. But we're on Peacock exclusively, and it's just a great app. It's just it's deep and it's playable, quite frankly. Joining us right now is our buddy, my longtime colleague from the NFL Network and NFL Media Group, who then moved on to greener CBS Sports Pastures, and he is the insider for the NFL Today on CBS. He's my buddy Jason Lockenfora. How are you, Jason?
What's going on, homie?
Well, you tell me. What's what's the latest in the 2020 playing season and how it might be somewhat threatened by COVID-19? What's going on?
Yeah, well, I mean, you guys were just talking about 8 baseball games today, and I guess the French Open is going on right now, and we've got golf majors that will be going on through the fall and winter, and you know, that this term, the new normal, right?
Right.
What does that mean, and how are all these different sports entities affected? And look, but nothing short of a miracle, the numbers in the NFL in terms of the COVID reserve list, and what, we entered week 3 with one player in the entire league through 3 weeks who'd been placed on it. Maintaining those numbers would seem to be statistically improbable, if not impossible, and we're now at a point where the Titans have an issue. And we'll see what the numbers look like moving forward, and obviously they're doing everything in their power to keep the number of cases as low as possible. But in the interim, you know, the league and the PA have to sort of make contingencies. So, you know, at a time when have all these different sports things going on, as I just mentioned, you know, a Tuesday night game, a Wednesday night game, like, does that really seem all that odd, you know, considering everything else that we've watched in the sports landscape, considering, you know, an NBA season continued in one location in Orlando and then an entire playoff played down there, and you know, the NHL and what, Edmonton and Toronto. Everybody's got to adapt. Everybody's got to remain malleable, and everybody's got to try to do their part, you know, to abide by all these regulations or protocols and try to keep the numbers down. But there were always going to be positive tests and outbreaks to some degree. I mean, again, just think about how much humanity is involved in the average workday in the average NFL training facility. And so now we'll see. You know, we'll see how things look day by day and what makes the most sense and whether they could play Monday or Tuesday or whatever else. But also bear in mind, these stadiums aren't being used for anything else. You're not dealing with sponsors. You're not dealing with fans. You're not having to refund tickets, by and large. Yes, there's a few places that they're playing to a very small number. But not, you know, not involving this game. So to play a game on a Tuesday or a Wednesday or in the middle of a day, in the middle of the week, if you had to, and then the next week have those teams do it again, because, again, like, there's no Taylor Swift concert. There's no tractor pool. You really kind of are able to have a degree of flexibility from a planning and scheduling standpoint, unlike anything we've seen.
Jason Lockenfora here on the Rich Eisen Show. So then there's two questions. Is what now, as you just were beginning to address, and then how do we prevent it from happening elsewhere or again? So let's stick with a little bit of the what now. And on that front, I guess they're just looking at positive tests. That's what they're going to wait to see,
and then how long to see is this something that's being that emanated from our building or emanated from a bus that we were all on together, or
yes.
not all of us, because now it's multiple buses, right? Because you've got one guy per row, and was it on a plane? You know, was it at the hotel? And just trying to gain as much insight into that as you can, because that obviously helps you, you know, prevent it from happening again, and then know how many people, okay, well, if it was a bus, or was it bus one, was it bus two, was it bus three, who else was on that bus? And, you know, In terms of preventing it, I'll just say what I said before. I think it's an absolute miracle that, you know, AJ Terrell was the only guy in the league on a COVID list through an entire training camp, albeit truncated, but still, they were in these buildings for 6 weeks.
Right.
And then through 3 weeks of play. But just the numbers of what's going on in this country and what's going on in many of these communities where these guys go home and their kids are in school and some of their wives work. And you could follow every tenet of the law. Like here in Baltimore, you know, Bradley Bozeman, their starting left guard, has a foundation. They're feeding. They're getting out 21,000 meals at a church every other Tuesday. He and his wife, Nikki, have never been there to actually take part in it because they're not allowed to be around more than 10 people, you know? So they've got these Zoom robots that the Ravens send down there, and as the people are picking up their meals, they've got Brad and Nikki on either side on a screen. But, like, they're not leaving their house just because, you know, everybody's trying to – like, everybody's doing can do the right thing, but society isn't in a bubble, and they're not in a bubble, and it's inevitable that things are going to come up.
No doubt about it, Jason.
So going to Target, even with a mask on or whatever.
I'm sure you saw, though, what is the league going to do about, and again, it's so difficult to bring this up because it is and it was a charitable venture. I'm sure you saw many of the Las Vegas Raiders out and about, Waller masked up, others not, at an event for him. I mean, what does the league do about that, Jason?
They come down hard. I think part of the reason... You haven't heard about the Raiders and the personnel who were in the locker room who didn't have the proper clearance, weren't in the tier that you need to be in to be in a locker room. And then this, I suspect that the league will come down heavy. I mean, they sent the memo today saying repeat offenders are subject to suspension and loss of draft pick. I reported on the NFL Today Sunday morning that's where the league was. And that... If the fines aren't working, then we'll find other ways to get your attention. I mean, they haven't had this discussion formally yet, but talking to individuals in the league office, could not wearing a mask at some point become a 15-yard fine on the spot? I mean, they're not there now, but if this continues, I there'll at least be discussions about how do we get people's attention, and if the money's not enough, then we'll try taking you off the sidelines for a week, or we'll take away one of your draft picks. And if that's not enough, then maybe it's got to be 15 yards. Like, maybe then you'll see coaches wrapped up like mummies on the sidelines. I don't know. And again, is the face mask on the sideline for those 3 hours the end-all and be-all? I get it for the people who would say no, but I also know that they made promises to mayors and governors in a lot of these cities to be able to get this many people together, not even including fans, but the 500 or 600 people it takes to get the game on, to bring them together. We promise they're all going to wear face masks. Hey, NFLPA, we're in this together. We collectively bargain. Yeah, our coaches and our staff are going to wear the face mask. You know, when you're not wearing a face mask, you know, the league made promises. The league made assurances, collectively bargained and otherwise. They don't like to see them broken for the whole world to see for, you know, 3 hours every Sunday.
Jason Lockin, four of CBS Sports here on the Rich Eisen Show in the couple minutes I have left with you. Let us go talk some football. You mentioned Baltimore. You've got a radio show that you do there every single day. What do we take out of the Monday night loss to Kansas City where, once again, a halftime deficit was not overcome and that this offense – you know, you put enough games together that do we glean that this offense and quarterback has trouble when they're down by more than one score, Jason?
I mean, that's certainly not the ideal scenario for them. There's no doubt about that, and they haven't collectively figured out a way to deal with it. Now, if you dig down on each of these games and you kind of watch them again or you look back through the playbooks, they're often their own worst enemy. I mean, they run six times for 60 yards on the opening drive. It's first and 15 in the red zone. Pass, 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 chip shot, field goal. Next drive, pass, pass, pass. Next, Duvernay, touchdown to the house, 13-10. Defense has been on the field all day. What do you think they'll do? Wrong. Pass, pass, pass. Six carries, 60 yards. Lamar, 2 for 35. They run 18 offensive plays the rest of the half, Rich, not including penalties. Three runs, only one by Lamar, and 15 passes. You know, Gus Edwards is 10 yards a carry, touched the ball four times. Pat Ricard, freak of nature fullback, was on the field for over half their snaps against the Texans. He was on the field for 16 running plays the previous week. They gained 134 yards in those 16 plays on the ground. How many snaps do you think he played Monday night? 11. So, I mean, that's a big part of it. And they changed their spots too quickly when they get behind. They ran back into the game in the third quarter. And then it's a one, you know, they get it to be a one-score game again, and the defense just has no answers for Mahomes. But they stopped running the ball early on the Chargers and didn't use heavy personnel in the playoff loss. They went empty set in a one-score game to start the second quarter in the second half against the Titans. No fullback, no jumbo packages. It didn't work so well. They did it in Arrowhead last year, and they did it again last night.
I hear you, Jason, but I mean, it seems to me, and again, I'm not there like you are before you go national. It seems to me that there is no, I guess, dependable receiving threat for Lamar that's going to make a play for him and catch the ball for him. That there's no DeAndre, not everyone has a DeAndre Hopkins, but there's nobody that's just going to definitely get open when they need to, and that there's nobody who's going to make that play. Andrews might be the closest they have to somebody like that.
Well, Hollywood Brown has to be that guy.
Right.
They took him in the first round. Last year he played at about 70%, had the plate in his foot. He's not on a pitch count this year. He and Lamar live close to each other in South Florida. They were throwing the ball around literally the entire pandemic. You know, he was working out with Antonio, his cousin. He put on 20 pounds of muscle. I mean, he's jacked up. He's still as fast as ever. He showed up a little bit in the first game against the Browns, but not much since, and that's a problem. Andrews has had two bad drops in that game. Somebody else has to emerge. Boykin's a blocking wide receiver. It's not going to be him. They took Devin Duvernay in the third round. He has elite speed. He took that kick to the house. He only played 7 reps on offense, caught 1 ball. I expect that to change. They need him in the slot to be a force. Willie Snead's a nice NFL receiver. Nobody's worried about Willie Snead beating them. There has to be another option that develops. If it's not internally, then maybe that's through free agency or a trade. But you know, they took a couple of receivers in this draft, and they're hoping that over the course of the season, they emerge.
Last one for you, Jason. We're already talking about hot seats. The Jets on Thursday Night Football, 0-3. Here's a kid who's never started coming out of Boise State, who's never had a player start in the NFL. Short week on the road for Denver. Jets lose this one to go 0-4. Is it possible the Jets, for the first time under the Johnson administration, make a change midstream? What do you got for me?
It's possible. Yeah, I mean, it's possible. I mean, the reality there is I don't see them returning as presently constituted in 2021 under any circumstances.
That's one way to put it.
Is Woody back from the UK in the middle of November or December? I don't know. That's possible. What's going on there is untenable, and their ownership regime has not been marked by a lot of success, and they haven't really done a lot of things that you would lend you to believe that they're going to be cohesive and together, and there's always been tension. So I would expect more of the same. I don't believe, from what I've heard, that it's, you know, there's some stuff going around about he loses this game, they're absolutely going to fire him the next day. I have not heard that, but I mean, you just set the game up. I mean, if you can't beat this team, who can you beat?
Well, then what about what's Arthur Blank's patience level after watching Atlanta come out and still have this blowing lead bugaboo they can't get rid of?
I mean, that's another one where there's no way that this is going to be the same thing. They can't just roll the balls out there again in 2021 and say we've fixed it now. But this has been an inelastic relationship, right? I mean, there's numerous times where if you just looked at this as a non-emotional, non-sentimental, non-human relationship and just looked at the results, your mind would have said, hey, we got to go in a different direction. Like, hey, I mean, now we're 2-9 in September the last 3 years. Like, I've seen this movie before. let, you know, that same rational decision was there for him to make at the bye week last year, and he didn't make it. And he didn't make it again after the season. So that's another one where at some point it will happen. At some point he'll talk to a confidant, or he'll go to bed one night and he'll wake up in the morning and say, I can't do Groundhog Day anymore. But it obviously wasn't this Monday. You know, it wasn't today. And right. That was another epic debacle, finding ways to lose. So again, because of the pandemic, you know, because of not having a normal training camp and all that stuff, I think we'll probably see fewer moves in general when we get to January, and maybe even fewer in season, because we got enough unsettling stuff. We're doing Zoom meetings. We got enough craziness going on here already. But at some point, by 2021, I can't imagine the Jets and the Falcons don't have a new head coach.
Jason, thanks for the call. We'll see you on Sundays on CBS, and then where can people find you throughout the week? Jason.
They can find me on the radio.com app if you want to check out Inside Access on 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore from 2 to 6. And you can find me on the CBS Sports Network and pretty much daily on CBS Sports HQ. So
you're the man,
Jason. I'm around. Thanks, brother. Appreciate you.
Right back at you. That's Jason Lockett for. So wait and see on pretty much every front. If Baltimore can run down your throat and get up on you, and not have to worry about making chunk plays down the field or worry about getting out of their run game, they're tough to beat. But at some point...
Well, everyone's got a plan until you get punched in the mouth.
I guess so. Hey, look at you. That's interesting. Is that what your dad told you back in the day?
No, Mike Tyson.
Oh, Tyson. Okay, sorry. I'm not saying that you're Mike Tyson's son. I just didn't know that's what Tyson said. Very good. Monday Night Football, Atlanta, Green Bay. Good luck. Or the Green Bay's playing.
But that's one of those weird games that the Falcons come out and win.
The Falcons had all those, if you will, weird games second half of last season. And just to show you again how tough it is to win in September, Atlanta's 2-9, what do you say, in the last three Septembers?
Yeah.
2-9. Patrick Mahomes has never lost in September and never thrown an interception in September.
The 30 touchdowns and no picks.
It's insane.
Yeah.
That's why I'm saying the Chiefs are the class.
Right.
Again. And this Monday proved it. They're going to, and the Patriots are the next to come at the King.
Here we go.
844-204-RICH. We'll take your phone calls and get set for David Shaw and Kyle Brandt, Hour 2. And our poll question's phenomenal. Can't wait to unveil it for you right here on our quadcast.
Sports keep coming back. So does your chance to bet on them with our exclusive wagering partner, BetOnline. Major League Baseball is now in full swing, and the NBA has also begun. There's no shortage of ways to get in on the action. BetOnline has all the odds, futures, and props for you to bet on. Visit BetOnline today to check out all the odds and up-to-date sports news. Don't forget to sign up and take advantage of all the Welcome Back to Sports bonuses. BetOnline, your online wagering experts. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at Podcast One. BetOnline to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. Visit betonline.ag and don't forget that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. BetOnline. Your online sportsbook experts.
This season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. You can catch every snap from every game with full replays and see all of the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. You can relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game every week. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. And NFL Game Pass is the only place you can replay every game all season long. You'll also learn from the league's best players with over 40 NFL Game Pass film session episodes. Go inside the game from a player's perspective as they break down the game's concepts and techniques. Learn from the best like Deshaun Watson, Stephon Gilmore, Davante Adams, and many, many more. NFL Game Pass also provides access to the entire NFL Films archives. I'll tell you what, folks, you cannot do without NFL Game Pass and being a football fan. It makes it so much better. Go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops.
Back to our Peacock audience. Hello. So, Trevor Bauer keeps pitching out of trouble. Trouble in the last inning was Joey Votto with an error, a rare error for Joey Votto.
Yeah.
But Bauer, man, he struck out Dansby Swanson, and then he literally went like this coming off the mound.
Conor McGregor with the arms.
Yeah, he did it. Yeah. He did that. I don't know what to make of him. I kind of alternately dig him. And then want nothing.
I had him in fantasy this year, so I really enjoyed him.
I'm sure.
But,
did you win? Because you had LeMahieu, too. So
How did you not win a short season
with the guy with the silver bat and the Cy Young?
By the way, and I had Freddie Freeman and Ozuna and Nelson Cruz.
Who the hell beat you?
And I came in second.
Who beat you? With who?
Ironically, the dude who took a half hour to take Brian Hartline.
The long beat.
Why do you go into fantasy leagues with him?
I don't know.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial. David Shaw, the Stanford football coach, will catch up with him as Pac-12 football is going to be back coming up. I guess you can't say next month. Today's the last day of September, so in a couple of months.
Coming.
Kyle Brandt, always fun to chat with our friend from Good Morning Football. And his Bears made a move, Matt Nagy, with a big, huge brass cojones maneuver.
I forget. What did Kyle say last week about Trubisky? He was in, right?
Because, of course, you have to be in on him because he's the future and they're going to be all in on him and that's it. And you knew it. They were going to run it back. So, yeah.
But you can still dissent on the...
Oh, of course. You got to also say Nick Foles. I mean, honestly, in the last 10 years, for sure. Because I guess when Foles went to St. Louis, that was a total debacle. Mm-hmm. But he was also a young quarterback then. And then
on the Rams, too,
then
right?
When Chip, yeah, the St. Louis.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Well, and then when Chip Kelly, then Chip Kelly had him and, you know, did well with him for 1 year. And then
he threw 7 touchdowns in one game.
He goes to St. Louis, and then he comes back, and he's a backup, right, and then becomes the MVP of the Super Bowl. I mean, what a magic carpet ride he went on.
Crazy.
And then the year next, looks like he was going to do it again if, you know, it wasn't a tip drill interception in New Orleans to knock him out. Again, this is his first game coming up this week in Soldier Field since winning that wild card game for the Eagles in Soldier Field. That was his last win because he went 0 for Jacksonville.
Right.
So you don't know what Nick Foles you're going to get. But in the last 10 years, you want to press a button and change something into much better or not go in a direction where you think you're going to go because Foles is in the game and your MVP quarterback is hurt and you win it all. I mean, Nick Foles is the best button to push. You know, midseason. Best midseason button to push. That's it. I mean, Jacksonville tried to press that button midseason after he got hurt and came back and sat Minshew after they lost
late
in London.
Yeah,
but that didn't work.
I don't know what he's going
to. He's
look
got
like
no choice essentially, but to, well, say yeah, that this is true. It for Foles.
Yeah.
All right, let's take this phone call right here. By the way, Mike in Philadelphia, where apparently bad things happen. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how are you? Excuse me, Rich. How are you guys? Everybody good?
We're hanging in there. What's on your mind, Mike?
Yo, the Raiders. It wasn't just Waller. It was Carr. Carr. He asked for respect, and he does the, like, I don't want to use the word stupid, but the dumbest thing in the world. What is wrong with that man?
You mean about going to the charity event?
Yeah, without a mask, on stage, throwing a football, hugging people, like he knows everybody's safe. Like the NFL, like Gruden lives next door to him. I would be like, you know, what about Bob? I'd be sitting in the lawn chair if I were Gruden, like watching Carr. Like, where are you going?
I agree. I don't know what else to say. I don't know the full. Thanks for the call, Mike.
Sure.
You have every right to be upset because everybody's in the same boat here. Players, coaches, league, media that wants to talk about the league because it's the greatest narrative-generating machine and revenue-generating machine there is right now in sports. Got to keep it alive. Got to keep it going. And, again, I don't know the full circumstances. Did they test everybody who was walking in there? And even that, you don't even know. I don't want to completely go, if you will, all ham. But it's a terrible look, and you're putting everybody at risk. I think Witten was there, too.
Mm.
844-204-RICH number to dial. What do you have over there as a poll question, Christopher? At Rich Eisen Show is the spot for everybody to check
this out. Yeah, we have a bunch
out.
Of ideas. We're going to go with this one. Today's the anniversary of Cheers' debut on NBC back in 1982.
Unbelievable.
Great show. Ran for 11 seasons. Love it. So we're going to go, which show thrived most after replacing a main character? So Shelley Long obviously left Cheers and was replaced by Kirstie Alley.
Right.
Charlie Sheen left Two and a Half Men, was replaced by Ashton Kutcher. David Caruso left NYPD Blue. Who ended up replacing him?
It was
Jimmy Smith, right?
Yeah.
And then Mark Paul Gosselaar later on. And then I'd never seen MASH, but Wayne Rogers, who's that?
Wayne Rogers was out, and then Mike Farrell came in, yeah.
Okay.
Trapper John M.D. got the gate.
Got the gate.
And then they found another character.
So which show thrived most after replacing a main character? Cheers, MASH, Two and a Half Men,
I'm a big Stephen Bochco man. May he rest in peace. I love NYPD Blue. And MASH. I love Caruso.
Final episodes.
And MASH, as you know, still
holds up.
Is on the top 20 most watched episodes of television, even with the latest Super Bowls keep shoving it down the list every year. It's still up there, the finale of MASH on CBS. Goodbye, farewell, and amen is the name of the episode. It's still there. But I don't know how you can't go with Cheers, because it wasn't just Shelley Long. It was also Coach, who passed away.
And
so they did it twice with Woody Harrelson. I don't know how you go against Cheers.
Great show, man. Great finale, too.
Today's also the anniversary of the debut of of another show, too.
So 2 years later in 1984, the debut of Murder, She Wrote on CBS.
60 Minutes will be coming up following football, followed by Murder, She Wrote.
That's fantastic.
I mean,
because, again, the way that Pat Summerall would pronounce Murder, She Wrote, he paused for the comma, because it's Murder, comma, She Wrote. It's very rare that there's punctuation in a title of a show.
Right.
You know? So he would always go with Murder, She Wrote.
I mean, the Hang Time.
The Hang Time. And then my other favorite one, that when he went to Fox, later on, a new 21 Jump Street, followed by House of Buggin'.
House of Buggins. When he did the Simpsons, like, the Halloween one.
In Living Color, followed by House of Buggins.
Read the card, Pat. Read the card. Yes,
exactly.
I'll tell that story.
Just read the card, Pat.
Okay, so I mutually part ways with ESPN.
Yes,
okay?
Yes.
NFL Network hires me. I'm on my honeymoon. I get a phone call in Italy. CBS wants to hire me to do the late night highlights show. They used to have a highlight show that they pushed back Kilbourne for a half an hour in between Letterman and Kilbourne. They put a half an hour U.S. Open highlight show. And they wanted me to host it for the U.S. Open tennis in Flushing Meadow. And I was all in. I'm in. Part of it also, though, was I got to call matches on Labor Day weekend.
Okay.
And I'd never called a tennis match before. Okay? In the grandstand, the famed grandstand, amazing spot in Flushing Meadows. Okay. So Bob Monsbach, who was the producer at the time, told me, hey, look, I just got to give you these pointers on how to call a tennis match. And I'm like, I've been watching tennis my whole life. Like, what are you talking about?
Right.
He says, don't talk during a point. I'm like, okay, I got that. And whenever we give you a card, a sponsorship card, read the card. And I'm like, got it. And he goes, don't got it me, read the card. And I'm like, why? He goes, because even with Summerall, I'm like, what? Like, I'm all ears. Yeah, even with Summerall, for the Goodyear blimp shot, it give you a card. It's like the Goodyear blimp has been there, you know, at all these events since 19 whatever. And, you know, and then you have to read the copy that Goodyear once read associated with the blimp shot, as they say. It's the shot, the aerial shot, to show you the aerial coverage is brought to you by Goodyear. See, I'm like, okay, so? He goes, because we would always give that card to Summerall and show that shot of this New York skyline, and all Summerall would say is, Manhattan. That's it. So it's time. I'm calling a tennis match. I've got the blimp shot card. It's filled with copy.
Read the card.
They gave me this beautiful shot of my hometown in New York City skyline, and I decide to just go Manhattan. And Bob Mansbach gets in my ear screaming all sorts of invective I cannot repeat right here. Read the effing card! Manhattan.
60 minutes will be coming up following football, followed by murder, she wrote.
Hour two, David Shaw, Kyle Brandt, and you coming up.
Fantastic. Manhattan.
And it was probably because Pat had had a few Manhattan.
Maybe he could have been.
Just going to say.
Don't know.
He was amazing to work with. That was the highlight of my career, to do Super Bowls with him.
Yeah, I bet.
Two.
Well, last Super Bowl he and did with did Madden, last Madden Summerall was Brady beating the St. Louis Rams.
And them on air, we got to mix the last time they were together. Like the pregame, postgame truck, because they did a throw to us.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is sick. Like, I'm doing iconic. Like to me, it was iconic.
Well, Summerall and Brookshire doing it on CBS all those years.
I mean,
and then, of course, you know, his charitable work with St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, the award that they give out every year at the Super Bowl is the Pat Summerall Award.
Yeah.
Manhattan. I mean, I laid right into it.
Had to.
And I don't think they could. They probably couldn't believe that I had the gumption to do it.
After you but I just specifically had
to find that somewhere.
But I mean, my parents wheeled the black and white television into the kitchen for us to watch Borg, McEnroe, you know, Ash. I mean, I watched tennis my whole life. I knew not to talk during points.
I went back then.
And I also knew, read the copy on the card.
It was,
read the card.
Man.
It's a beautiful shot of the of New York City. Of Manhattan. Oh, yeah. David Shaw coming up.
Welcome to the MIP.
Yeah.
The Michael Irvin Podcast.
You knew this was coming.
Guess who?
Let me start this thing off. Join me every week for the Michael Irvin Podcast. We'll give you the full MIP experience. I'm talking everything from football to fashion. I will be chopping it up with playmakers, headline makers, and I am throwing haymakers. I'm the MVP of the MIP. Don't miss it.
Download new episodes of the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast, every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.